Welcome to Women's Lax World. Our content focuses on all things women's lacrosse. We believe this sport, and specifically women's lacrosse, is the best and has so much talent, fun, and creativity, and there's not enough coverage. So we're talking about it. Thanks for joining us. Hello, and welcome to Women's Lax World, Season 1, Episode 3, and we have a treat for you. We are coming to you live from Zoom in three different time zones with three people that are from the one, the only, the mystical, the village of Penn Yan, New York. And with us, we have the Julie Decker. That's some claps. I'm clapping. All right. So Julie hails from Penn Yan, New York, the best place in the whole entire world. And she is a stud lacrosse player, loves the game more than almost anyone I know. She was a part of the 2004 state championship team. She was a captain. She was a baller. She was one of the best leaders that I was around as a player. And then she also was a all SUNYAC player at Brockport and now is currently the head coach at SUNYAC Plattsburgh, just, you know, SUNY Plattsburgh, but I just really love to see the conference. So welcome, Julie. She also has a lot more to share later on at the end of the show. So stick around so you can really get to know the Julie Decker. Julie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Bryce, are you so excited to have three PY people together?
I am, and three PY state champs and three PY coaches. I was just mentioning before we went on air that this has really replaced convention and camps for us. Julie's works a lot. She's been in Memphis with us in the past. We've been in Cali with her, obviously convention. So this is our new normal. We Zoom with our friends now instead of seeing you in person. Hopefully this summer we're back at the lake. I know I just did my summer calendar and put July 4th, our alumni game, on there. So hopefully we can get the women's game going again with the guys' game. But yeah, Julie, I think when you graduated, you were the all-time leading scorer at Brockport, correct? Or goal scorer?
I was second.
I'll take
second
one.
Second in points, third in goals.
That's pretty high up there. Yeah.
I just heard number one.
I heard number one. Yeah, number one.
Also, yeah, she's MVP for wearing the best shirt right now on the podcast. Lacrosse is for everyone.
Gotta love it. Shirt.
Also, I wanted to throw in, Julie is a Lake Placid champion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I watched the team.
Laxified.
Laxified's won a lot of championships up there. The last one was pretty exciting. We're going to have Lynn on the show soon and Sarah and some of the other Laxified champs, but hopefully this summer again we're there. All right, let's jump in it.
Let's jump in it.
ACC updates. Try to spread around a little bit. We've talked a lot about a few teams. One's playing right now live. Syracuse and Notre Dame are live. We'll get you an update on that. But the score I thought this week that I really liked or paid attention, UVA Louisville. Louisville. It's not Louisville. It's Louisville. So if you spend some time in the South, they teach you that. But score is, I believe, 13-12 UVA. They're now 5-0 with some big wins over Virginia Tech and Richmond, who beat them last year. But to me, the story, UVA's lacrosse. I mean, everybody knows that. They win championships. They've been great, men's and women's. I know we're focusing women's. But Louisville, being a one goal, you know, a lot of people say there's no wins and losses, but I don't really necessarily agree. One goal loss to them is kind of a win for Louisville. We took a trip there last year with the team at the University of Denver, and amazing facility. They have their own field. They share a building with just two teams. It's them and basketball. And, you know, Scott Teeter's down there, good old Canadian boy, got my Raptors hat on. And they just got a lot of players from all over. They're a player from Japan now. I don't know if she was U19 or senior women's national team or both. But she's already got a couple goals and assists, and just they've rebuilt that thing pretty quick. You guys got any thoughts on the UVA Louisville score? Did it surprise you?
For me, it didn't surprise me. I was really hoping for it again. And I'd watched Louisville play, you know, Colorado Boulder. And I just thought they're very tenacious. And it looked like a very cold day, very frigid. I feel like no one could feel their hands. And they just powered through. And they just showed similarly, they remind me a little bit like Virginia Tech, where they're just getting better and better and they're cleaning up their game a bit. I think they were both kind of raw in the beginning, whether that's COVID or just, you know, figuring out chemistry and things like that. But I mean, I guess maybe I was a little surprised because it was very tight, but I also enjoyed the Virginia Tech game, and VA only beat them by 2. So I think it's really fun with those 3 teams kind of being so close.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I watched the UVA Virginia Tech game. I haven't seen Louisville play yet, so I'm definitely going to have to check them out.
Another game, we talk about them every week, University of North Carolina. Super team.
Super.
I know they took care of Boston College 21-9. So, Julie, did you have a chance to watch either BC or UNC this year at all?
Yeah, definitely. I watched this game the other day. Charlotte North, she's so good. She's so fun to watch. Super creative. She's got a basketball background too, and I think you can totally see that in the way she plays. My favorite move she had all day was that she was coming righty around the crease. She jabs and steps back and takes that shot and scores. I thought that was awesome. But Carolina, I mean, they're just the powerhouse. They have so many weapons, and they don't just have shooters. They have people who score, and they all can score. So they're just so dominant, which is awesome. I think they're going to go all the way this year.
That's a bold prediction. Well, not really. We haven't made that many predictions. So I wanted to, is that your prediction? You, from what you've seen.
So I just think they're so good all around. I was looking at the stats, and BC had them on the draws, but that was about it. I mean, obviously we talk about their offense like all day, but their defense is solid too. And Taylor Moreno stepped up huge with 9 saves the other day. And I just think they have it. They have all the components to do it.
That is what really impressed me with some of their scores, actually. The offense is really impressive and you like to watch it, but the defense holding everybody under 10, some teams around 5. And these are really, really good teams we're talking about. They're not holding like Bloomfield, an upstate New York reference. Did they ever have a women's team, Bloomfield?
I don't think so.
No. Did Newark have who would be the worst
Newark
girls team you guys
played? Did.
Were they the worst?
They weren't great.
They weren't great. Yeah. So it's not like they're playing Newark, right? So, and they're holding these teams with 5, 6, 7, 9 goals. Let's jump out of the ACC. Upset last night. Temple beats Towson. Sylvia, were you shocked?
Yeah, I think I was shocked. I was really hoping for a good game again, but there was 2 things that really shocked me this season. It was the Drexel Georgetown score initially shocked me, 21-9. And then I think Temple over a very, very, very solid and exciting Towson, who just came off a really tough game, but exciting game versus Stony Brook. So that was a big shocker.
Have either one of you ever been to Temple? I've never been there.
Uh-uh. I've only been to Philadelphia once, I believe.
Once in your life?
I think maybe once on like a lacrosse trip, but I just didn't count that because we were just in and out and playing some games. And then once I went to a Degrassi premiere. Talk about Canadian television show. So I went to watch a premiere of that show. So haven't been to the campus. Rich history, obviously. Temple has a rich history.
Yeah, the reason I ask, we're talking about this game with Liza today, my boss at DU, and she says tough place to play. They used to be in the Big East, actually, I believe, before they went to the American Conference. I was shocked by it. I just wonder this year if we're going to get a lot of upsets. And, Julie, I know you're going to start playing again soon with your team, SUNY Plattsburgh. I haven't seen a ton of them, maybe, but maybe we're going to get some more this year. Julie, you know anything about Temple or Towson? Put you right on the spot.
I do not.
Towson was ranked number 11 in the country, so big win for Temple. American East, let's move on to another conference. We talked about Stony Brook both shows already, so let's talk about Albany. They got some upstate coaches there that we really like, and they had a big win over Hofstra 18-7, where Sylvia started out her freshman year on the island. Sylvia, I know you had some thoughts on that game. What do you got for me on the Albany game?
Yeah, and Hofstra was ranked top 20. And I just had a fun little full circle where Hofstra beat UConn 17-11. Then UConn beat Albany 14-10. And then Albany beats Hofstra 18-7. So again, in response to what we're talking about, I think we have some fun upsets, some fun scores. And I don't know if this is, again, COVID related and just the season, or this is just the magic of our game growing and talent is dispersing.
Julie, I completely agree with that. Have you seen Albany or Hofstra? Have you seen this kid on Hofstra, Alyssa? I think it's Alyssa Pirelli. I'm looking right now. Have you guys seen highlights of this kid play?
Yeah, and overwhelmed and really impressed. Was she named to the Touratown watch list?
That just came out today.
I gotta go back and look at that.
I would assume so. She just got some of the best dodges I've seen in a while. So she can get after it. What do we got after the American East? Out West. We're gonna check out West. Yeah, go for it, Sylvia. You take us in.
Yeah, West. So, you know, this last weekend, I was really excited to watch USC and UC Davis. I think UC Davis came out strong, especially like kind of in their small conference and beating some teams. They lost to Stanford, but, you know, they showed a lot of promise, but USC really, really was full swag and full feeling it, and they won 20-10. So that was it was an exciting game. Wasn't a close game, but I thought there was just really good plays on both ends of the fields. And I really enjoyed watching it. And I'm extra, extra looking forward to USC and Stanford.
It's like tomorrow or the next, it's coming up quick. I looked at it last night. Julie, nice. two places you've been, UC Davis and USC. Did they start when you were coaching at Fresno State? Had USC started?
Yeah, we played them. I remember going there to play. Yeah, it's definitely exciting to see Davis. Maybe 2010, I want to say keep up with USC, but I think USC is so dominant and Davis's wins have been in dominating fashion this year. You referenced the Stanford-USC game coming up. That's actually Sunday. So that'll be another good one out West.
Yeah. And Bryce and I, you know, we talked about this last week, but again, you know, UC Davis has such a great coach and they have a great coaching staff. And I think, you know, we love Suzanne, big fans, but I think, you know, when I was watching Davis versus USC, I think they still have to get rid of those jitters that they're playing USC and the USC and I think they just have to focus on the fact that they are very gifted and they got a lot of great players. And I think they're going to just keep getting better and better with that coaching staff and specifically with Suzanne at the helm. I'm really excited to see them.
Well, Julie, it's funny you say it's like, it's a good score. It's not a good score. I kind of had the same reaction. I wanted to see them play closer because I'm just a fan of their program and lacrosse on the West Coast. But I kind of do think 20-10 is an okay score too. It's like you go back and forth. It's like, you know, you got to take that step to get that next step. It is very challenging to be a non-Power 5 school now to go up against some of these places with their facilities and stuff. So I don't know if they're playing again. I would maybe consider they might be. But let's move on to the Big Ten. They're playing each other twice a week, which a lot of conferences are going to do, but they have no non-conference, which we've talked about on the show before. I think that's going to be difficult to say the least. But the scores – to me, Hopkins swept Ohio State 12-11 and 10-9. So, I mean, ball don't lie. It's literally like the same score both games. And then Michigan 12-11 and 12-9 over Rutgers. And then, Sylvia, did we get a Northwestern score today?
Did I get that? No, I don't have the final score. Northwestern, obviously, they beat Penn State. And I think it was a close game, but then it wasn't a close finish.
I got the final here. It was 24-13. So like you said, first half was a little close. Second half wasn't. Julie, just from a standpoint of playing the same team twice in a weekend from a coach, you're a college coach, been doing it a long time. What do you think? What do you think is going to be different about that? Do you try to hide things from the team? Do you not overthink it? What's your thought process going into that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's something that you can't overthink, but I think from from a player's perspective, I mean, you're going up against this team twice in one weekend with no break, no one in between. I think that can be a lot. And I feel like that could get chippy especially if it's a tight game. And yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one.
Are you guys going to do that in the Suniac? Do you not know yet? Or do you guys still waiting?
We're not doing that. No, we split it up.
Yeah. Sylvia, how do you think that's going to, that would be from your perspective as a coach? Do you think, or as a player, like, are you just happy to play again? Or you think it'd be challenging?
I think happy to play again, but also definitely a new challenge, which I think is kind of cool. And maybe a unique aspect of this is just a new challenge. I think, you know, going back to, you know, when I was playing D2, it was like such a challenge. I think, you know, playing back to back in the national championship weekend. And yeah. I think, you know, in states it's playing back to back in high school was such a challenge. And so I've never done it with doubleheader with the same team. So I enjoy it, but I think thus far with every doubleheader, one team has prevailed. There have been no splits, I don't believe. I think, you know, obviously Penn State beat Maryland, but that was just one game. And everything else, I think with these doubleheaders, it's been the same team. So I'm wondering, hey, maybe Penn State can come back and split it. So I'm really hoping, and I don't know if that just reveals one team's, I don't know, really more focused, or it's really hard to get a split, but there hasn't been any of those. So I'm looking forward to maybe there being more splits just to have it be more exciting.
As you're saying that, I'm wondering myself, I think Penn State and Northwestern are playing again in a day.
They are.
Yeah.
They're playing Saturday.
Yeah, they take one day off to play again. And I'm like, wow, is it going to be closer? Northwestern's a team. I saw them when they played Hopkins. They shot with 0 seconds left. So they're not gonna sit back. They're not gonna feel sorry for you.
They do not back down. They definitely listen to Tom Petty beforehand. They just go full throttle. Obviously, that's Kelly Monte Hiller's style.
They won the draw with 6 seconds left and still tried to score. I mean, they scored with 6 seconds left. And then they took a draw and they were playing them a day later. Cause I was watching it thinking like, wow.
Well, they're building muscle memory. You know, you need that muscle memory for championship weekend, or you need that muscle memory for your conference championship, because, you know, way back when they were practicing stalling against Syracuse and trying to win that game, but there's no more stalling. So you have to be full throttle. Sure. So I kind of like it.
We'll change the style. Try to score early, score often. Julie, would you shoot with 6 seconds left? If you're up by 5 to 10, would you shoot?
If I was up by 5 to 10, probably not. 6 seconds.
it's a tough question.
And probably not, because of how we were conditioned and what coaches we play for. I think a lot of that has to do with it. What's your team culture? What is your coach saying? You know,
I'm not saying I'm not going to shoot it. I'm just saying if I'm on the other side of it, I'm going to get real upset. Yeah. But if I have the ball, I don't know. It just depends.
You would 100% shoot it. You want to get that stat. You want to get that goal.
Points. I want my points. Yeah. You know, I think it goes, I mean, but I think it really goes to your point. Like, it really goes back to your team and your coach. Like, if you know your coach is going to be upset, I'm not shooting it. My coach doesn't want me, it wants me to get points, I'm going to shoot it. Interesting. We'll stay in the Big Ten. And Julie, I'll put you on the spot with this first. Taylor Cummings tweeted a lot, and it was reshared on Instagram and Twitter a lot. And it's been multiple times now. The Big Ten, I guess. I haven't paid for it. Budget cut season. The NCAA made us stop working camps, you know, so I'm on budget cutbacks. But so I didn't buy the Big Ten Network. So I have to wait till their films go up to Huddle to watch. But, you know, they're making people pay $50 for their service, which a lot of people want. They're great games. But I guess there's no announcers. I haven't seen this live yet because I've been watching on the replays on Huddle, so you don't listen to announcers anyways. But what are your thoughts on that? How can they do better? Is this acceptable to you that they're even charging and then doing this?
Yeah, thank you for asking me this, because I do have a lot of thoughts on announcers. I also have not paid for this Big Ten subscription. I would love to be able to watch these games, but there's no way I'm paying for it if there's not announcers. I just think that's unacceptable at that level. And you know, you want to put out a good product. Do the men's teams have announcers for the Big Ten? I'm not sure. I think
I'm probably 95% sure that they do.
Based on official Lax girl and Tari's tweet, she said she paid for it and was wondering, is all my money going towards the men's side only and the production? So I would guess that they have a better production than women.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I definitely think it would draw more people, and more people would step up and be able to watch these live games and pay for the subscription if they were putting out a better quality product. Because the games are there. I mean, they're great games, but need announcers.
Yeah, I've wanted to watch every single one. And again, I'm just on budget cut season. I didn't do it because of the announcing, but now it doesn't make me want to support them to do that. And it's just, it's sad because it is such a high level of lacrosse and people want to watch it. Sylvia, any more points on that you want to make, or we address that?
You know, I think it's hard for the Big Ten to be in the conversation for one of the best conferences if they don't have a good production. And I think we've made so many changes to our game to become more spectator friendly. Almost every change has been made to make our game more efficient, more revealing of the talent we have, and also more spectator friendly. So for some reason, I was able to watch Hopkins and Northwestern. It was at Hopkins. So I didn't pay for Big Ten. I was able to stream it. I turned it off. They had one announcer. It wasn't very good. It's okay. But it was actually just the single camera angle for me. And it was so zoomed out that I'm just going to wait till it goes to huddle. And I'm not going to waste my time live watching a poor quality film. Because once you go to the ACC, there's no going back. So like it or not, the ACC, you know, and I said it, they're holding themselves accountable, double ACC, spell it in accountability. So we need to look at what they're doing, and they're doing two camera angles. They're having almost all the time, they're having two announcers, but they've had one at some of the games, but they are at the forefront. They're the best conference. They have the best production, and everyone else needs to follow suit. And I believe I tweeted that in response to Taylor's tweet about it. And also Taylor dedicated her entire second week of Taylor's takes to the Big Ten and not having a good production. So I think it's about time people pay attention, and we're losing fans. We're losing gaining spectators because it's such a crap quality.
Well, you're spitting hot fire right now, Sylvia. Two things I wanted to add on to that. We talked about in the first show, I think, you know, like we're trying to find highlights for some of those week 10 upsets or the week two or the Big Ten, like Rutgers beat somebody and we're trying to find highlights. We couldn't even find highlights. And you got ACC, you get the whole game on YouTube, you know, some, and then you got highlights for the home team only. And I'm just shocked the Big Ten's been so far down because they have all the money. It's why they're the power fives. It just seems like they just don't care as much. It's obvious. So the ACC is number one. The other thing I want to bring up, because I'm watching Cuse right now, Cuse Notre Dame, and it is better. It's double camera angles, like you're saying. It's 8-4 Cuse towards the end of the 9-4. No, they missed it. 8-4 Cuse, missed the name meter. But the other thing Cuse did first, I think, I could be wrong. They started announcing in the Carrier Dome live shooting space, 3 seconds. Like they're saying into your tweet a while ago, like normalized on the rules. I thought that was outstanding when they did that. And it kind of, you
know, I got goosebumps the first time I'm in the dome and I'm hearing 8-meter attempt by Kayla Trainer. And I'm like, F yeah, that's exactly what we need to do. Because I think 8 meters are a more exciting version of a free position, you know, a free position shot or whatever it's called in basketball. I'm now blanking, but you know, it's like
Free throw. Yeah.
Yeah. We have free position shot. It's way more exciting than a free throw. And it's part of the game. So it's like, ooh, get excited for it, announce it, let us know it's coming, call shooting space, call 3 seconds. And they're so in the know. And they also obviously have partnered with their communications department and broadcasting department. And they've just funneled talent into making lacrosse an amazing experience.
Well, you mentioned the free throw and the 8-meter, and I heard some people talking about this. So let me ask you guys your thoughts. Somebody said, to make it more viewership friendly and pick up new people, all that stuff, what if every 8-meter foul is now just center hash like a free throw? So they just run to the center. What are your thoughts? Yes or no? Everyone, no more hanging hash, no more outside hashes. You know, just every single, any foul, critical scoring area, it's going to the center just so people aren't as confused. Do you guys think yes or no?
No.
Decker, you're up first.
Decker, so this is no. I don't like free position shots personally. I think if there's a foul, we should just get possession of the ball and play more lacrosse. I'm not a fan of free position
shots. Don't like free position shots. Huh. Okay.
Personally, yeah, it's maybe an unpopular opinion. I don't know, but I want to see more lacrosse play, you know?
Yeah. Sylvia, you don't like that idea either. I forget who just told me about this the other day.
You know, I'd be okay with it. And I'm actually really open to it. And I feel like, you know, what Julie is saying is like, yeah, maybe a little bit more transitioning to like what happens in the men's game is like you get fouled, your player up, or, you know, something happens or you just skip possession or don't, you know, make the no call. But I personally love it. I embrace it. That's something I don't want to go away, to be honest. I really love 8-meter shots. And I think it's since offense is often so clogged and we're, you know, in the 12-meter most of the time, you don't get these opportunities to see people rip the shot like Charlotte and like Sarah Queen or our sister did. She would be ripping shots from the eight.
Julie Decker. She tried
exactly
too.
Just ripping them.
Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
Sorry. I just like replay this one 8-meter shot that I had when we were playing St. John Fisher in college. I ripped it right from the center hash and it just slams off the pipe and we ended up losing that game.
So that's why you hate 8-meter. To your point, you want less 8-meters. Sylvia, you want more rips. Mom, Patty Queener, Julie Decker tweeted about her International Women's Day.
Yes.
Okay. So mom thinks, and we'll get mom on the show, we should just play with a softer ball. And I like that idea. I don't know why the ball is so hard. What do you guys think about that? That's across the board. And I am in the minority on this one. I know. Most people love a hard lacrosse ball.
Oh, I'd 100% be happy to adopt that. I want us to play 6-on-6. So it just frees up a little space. And I think, that would just help. And I still obviously want, I'm fine with shooting space. I'm fine with all that. I even think you might need it with a softer ball, cause that still might hurt pretty bad. Or if it's in the temple, I mean, I think it could cause obviously an injury. So it just depends on where it hits you. But I'm just so open to try a lot of changes. I love that our game constantly changes. I think it's a nice metaphor for life. I think we're also so lucky to be a part of a sport that is still being shaped. That's still changing, like, you know, basketball set, everything else is set, but good idea, mom.
Good point. And let me just say also, Julie, before I have you answer, I don't think the ball is out there yet. I'm not saying, I think a softer version, but I don't think there is one currently made that I'm saying we should replace it with. I think we could manipulate technology a little bit and have that thing be have some weight, but not hurt so much if it hits someone. Julie, would you be open to that?
Oh, 100%. I think it would definitely make the game a lot safer. Like, that ball's pretty dangerous. And with the how fast people can shoot nowadays with the bigger pocket, I definitely think it would make the game a lot safer.
Sure.
And I don't think anything exists yet. Obviously, we have the SWAX balls just to like replicate the weight, and that's fun to play on your own. But I think that's more creative and I like that idea. And I also, you know, I don't want to put pads on. I don't want to just mimic the men's game. I'm fine with us adopting things that the men do, because I also think like we put in the shot clock before they did in college games. So it's like, we're taken from each other. I wish they'd move the ball a little bit better, like us, and cut more, but you know, they have the fear of getting freaking knocked down.
And long poles. I mean,
it's and long poles.
It used to have to mean something to lift your heavy stick up and check down. Now those things are so light. I mean, the long pole is lighter than the short stick I grew up playing with. Like, I mean, it just doesn't make much sense. Technology changes. Upcoming, we already talked about Stanford USC. So we're all excited for that on the West Coast. D2, D3, do we have anything we want to highlight this week? Or where are we at on that, Solis?
No updates for recap. And I think I really just wanted to focus on games I'm looking forward to that are upcoming for D2 and D3. So we can start with those, obviously, and then finish with D1. But I'll start, too, with D3. I'm really excited for McKendree at Rockhurst. And so just love that D2 matchup.
Kansas City. You know, Rockhurst is in Kansas City. Good barbecue.
Played there.
You've been there? with Fort Lewis. Fort
Lewis College.
Yeah. They're in the RMAC, right? I did know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the facility like?
There's another Rutgers. Sorry, what was that?
What's Rockhurst like? They're pretty good, I think, Sylvia, actually. I think they got a good squad. What's the facility like?
Their facility?
Yep.
It's a turf field. I don't know.
Butter and grass. Nice stadium, good locker room.
It's cool. It's right in the middle of campus there, and it's almost right downtown Kansas City. It's pretty cool.
Sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Sylvia, you've been there?
No, I've not been there. So I really also, obviously, I love to highlight different regions. And so I'm excited about that matchup for D2. And then like for D3, it's the, you know, I'm really looking forward to a game this weekend. And then also midweek is Augsburg,
ooh,
which is, Minnesota? You know where that is, Bryce?
Minnesota, I think.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Got it.
Yeah, got it.
So, you know, some exciting news the last couple of years is we had University of Wisconsin schools adding D3 women's lacrosse. And so Augsburg is playing UW lacrosse, and this is their second year of existence, meaning their first year was COVID.
So their first year I coached against them, which was 3 years ago.
You mean River Falls?
Oh, it's not them.
No, it's not them. But good news, Augsburg then on Tuesday plays UW River Falls, which you played when you were at Southwestern.
So let me say this about UW River Falls. I played in their first ever year of existence. I called you after the game. I'm like, that team's going to be good. It's very interesting that Wisconsin now has state schools playing, much like where Julie's coaching now in the SUNYAC and the New York Power Conference. That is, the Minnesota Conference is going to be good. Like that, they had one kid. I was like, how is she on your team? They're like, oh, she transferred D2. I'm like, that kid, I mean, she could like flip her stick over her head, shoot behind the back on the run. Maybe a little bit of hyperbole there, but those should be some good games. Have any of them reached out to play you, Julie? That's got to be pretty far.
Oh yeah, Wisconsin's pretty far.
Yeah, would you take a trip there? Or do you guys do far trips?
No, we're down to day trips over here.
Oh yeah,
COVID budget cuts.
Budget cut season. Nice. Well, luckily there's a lot of teams in New York to play. Sylvia, was there other games you wanted to highlight?
No, those are all the ones I'm excited for. I didn't know if you looked at any D3s or D2s that you were looking forward to, Julie or Bryce.
Yeah, I've got one. There's another RMAC matchup, Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference in D2. Regis was playing Colorado Mesa today, actually. Oh,
that went final. That went final. I think it was like 13-2, maybe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Regis, yeah. Yeah, we just got a few shout-outs on this show. You know, I saw RIT Utica was yesterday, and RIT won 17-9. Talking about Placid Saint, our friend coaches at Utica, and an RIT coach, former teammate of yours, right? So
yeah, Aaron Growney, now Aaron Wagner, you know, played with her in high school and in college, and yeah. she's a great lacrosse mind. She's an amazing coach.
I saw Hamline yesterday beat UW lacrosse, which Sylvia was just talking about, but Hamline also in Minnesota. And didn't we, speaking of convention earlier, didn't we have dinner with the Hamline coach?
Yeah. And fun fact, it's Hamlin.
Oh, I was saying wrong. I know. I
wanted Hamlin. You to say it. Yeah, no. I know. I always learn. So they're Hamlin, and something that impressed me and why I was excited about the Augsburg matchup is usually in their conference, you know, I think Hamlin usually wins, and Hamlin, you know, wins over Augsburg, but you know, I was impressed with the UW lacrosse 2-goal deficit with Hamlin, because Hamlin's been really good, and they have a really, really passionate and hilarious coach. So.
And they've gone to the NCAA tournament at least twice. I know that.
Yeah. They're winning their conference. You know, I think they get that automatic bid. So I just think there's a lot of exciting things happening. You know, I think there's so much talent in the Midwest, but especially, you know, there's so much talent in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Illinois. So I think it's, you know, they're really pulling from that area.
Update in the Cuse game. Gary is wearing a two-tone suit. He's got a purple blazer and looks like blue pants. Something's going on here at the end of the half.
Shout out to Gary getting his 200th win at Syracuse. And I actually want to say this, and this is an overshare, but they shared, you know, his first win from 2008. And a picture of him in his suit. And I think he looks better now than he did in 2008. I just think he really does age like a fine wine. I mean, he is just incredible. He's such a great coach, but I think he's one. He just, obviously he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT for me.
I had the same thought there, Sylvia.
I was so excited when I stepped into the Carrier Dome as a freshman at Hofstra and I saw Gary in a suit. I just thought, wow, I made it. And then
in that tweet, they showed a picture of his first win, and there was a lady from Penn Yan in that picture, Bridget Ham.
Bridget? Yeah.
Bridget Ham. And then Liz Hogan's there. So we had Section 5, and also Lindsay, who coaches at Virginia. Forget her married name.
Rogers amazing, right? Yeah.
So a lot of Section 5 talent, those shout outs, not shouting out anyone else because
sure. She's at, you know, we shouted out University of Virginia 5-0 earlier. She's an assistant coach for them. So a lot of upstate everywhere. I think that does it for D2, D3. Well, except there was a big announcement. Okay, go, Julie.
St. John Fisher is playing Clarkson tomorrow. Fisher just played NAS yesterday, I believe, and 7-5. Won by a goal. I think it was 6-5 was the score. And St. John Fisher right now is ranked number 13th. And I know Clarkson has a solid team. We played them the last 2 years. I think they're a sleeper. They're really well coached and just have a lot of firepower there. So that'll be a good game to watch.
Yeah, Bryce, you played Clarkson when you were at that school in the South, right?
Want me to tell you a fun story about that?
We do.
He called me and was like, we want to come to Memphis, play you guys. We just went 15-2, went to the second round of the NCAA tournament. But, you know, obviously those New York teams are just a little different. And I was like, I don't really want to play you. and so we did. We face guarded one of their kids, and she went 6-5 in a face guard. Shout out Ben Gable. Great guy. It's fun to coach against, but now when they're kicking your butt. And our team was like, why are we, what? We couldn't beat them. They don't even go to the tournament. And you're like, well, there's some teams up north that are pretty, pretty good, but they don't take all the teams from each conference. So I do like that the NCAA does that. It grows the game. It's a very important part of growing those games, the game in those areas. But yeah, those teams up north are still pretty darn good. Julie, you playing Clarkson this year? You might.
We couldn't find a date, unfortunately. Oh, you couldn't?
Yeah.
I was just texting with Benny earlier today.
He's hilarious. What a guy.
The next part. Oh, sorry, Bryce. Go ahead. I just cut you off.
I've been playing the drums on Beale Street after he beat us. That was a fun night. It was one of the only times I lost by more than 10 goals and still had an enjoyable evening. yeah. Go ahead. So what was the big news out of D3 this week?
Big news. And I think, you know, we're just going to, I'm just itching to get to the questions with Coach Decker, Coach Julie Decker, the Julie Decker. So I'm just going to share Big Stick Energy award and announcement this year and focus on D3 is NESCAC is back. So that was the big news. Julie, any thoughts about that? Bryce, any thoughts about that? Them, you know, claiming that they're able to compete now.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think it's really good for Division III lacrosse. A lot of the top 10 teams are in the NESCAC. I think it'll be really good. You know, I believe their decision was to still have each school make the final say on season. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think it's overall very good.
I mean, I was shocked. They were the first ones to cancel last year before everybody else. They love saying they're better than the Ivies, like more selective and that kind of elitist stuff. So I'm shocked they're playing when the Ivy League's not playing. But like to Julie's point, yeah, great for the game. They have great programs, great coaches, great teams. It's really good lacrosse. So awesome for those kids and stuff that they're getting to play and the coaches and everybody in that situation, but I am shocked. I was really surprised to see that announcement.
Yeah, I was surprised. They basically, you know, went off on their own because usually, you know, they kind of lead and Ivy League will follow, but most of the time they're following the Ivy League and their decisions. And I think it's kind of cool that they're just saying yes and then giving each institution autonomy and just letting them, you know, make their choices. But again, it's like I vote for, you know, top teams weekly, and it's been a little odd, you know, voting for all the NESCAC teams when they weren't playing or it was a question mark. So, and I'll also say selfishly, you know, since I don't have a season and I'm just doing, you know, coaching virtually, I have some time now to watch the NESCAC. And I really haven't in the past, especially because I vote on all regions. So I'm really watching my conference. I'm watching the West region and I'm not watching a ton of NESCAC. So it's the first time where I'm really going to be able to dedicate that time to watch. And I'm excited to just see how they respond to you know, the adversity of COVID in this season. And uh-oh, that's a happy uh-oh. Woo, time for questions with Coach Decker, with Julie Decker. And, you know, I kind of want to start it off just, you know, can you tell us your lacrosse story? And that's, you know, your playing career, your coaching career, and can you keep it under 3 minutes? Just tell us your path and what it's been like.
I'll keep time.
Okay. All right, here we go. Yeah, so I got my first stick when I was like 12 years old. Went to summer box lacrosse in Penn Yan that year, and your mom helped me out a lot. She's really the person who taught me the game. Didn't end up playing for school until I was in eighth grade. Decided to leave softball behind and switch to lacrosse, and it was the best decision of my life because here I am now, college coach. But back to that, we went undefeated my eighth grade year on the modified lacrosse team with Coach Dave Pullen.
Who's now the principal.
Yeah, wow. He's now the principal of the
high school.
I forgot he coached. I totally forgot he coached.
We got to interrupt on that because that's so funny. I forgot too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome. My first ever undefeated season that year, we went 8-0. But yeah, then the next year I was on the varsity team and yeah, we went to states that year, which was awesome. Went to states again my senior year, ended up winning and went on to play at SUNY Brockport for 4 years, a couple years later, and been coaching college ever since. Been coaching for the last, 11 years, I think, 11 years, wow. But back here in New York and living the dream, building the program here at Plattsburgh.
Who's been to more programs, you or I? How many have you been at?
I don't know. That's a good question. Was that Geneseo, Hilbert, Fresno State? Fort Lewis, Plattsburgh, 5.
How many you've been at, Bryce?
How many do I have? I got to count. Georgetown, Binghamton, Siena, Hill Academy, the school in Tennessee, Fresno State, Southwestern, Denver, 8. I'm at 8.
Well, take out Hill Academy. I mean, it's prestigious, but it's not college.
I'm taking that out.
Decker, yeah. Then Decker, you get to add Penn Yan.
Penn Yan modified.
Sure, six. At it. Put it on the list. Put it on the list. Six. You're at 6.
I'm and you
eight.
Have nine, Bryce? Years,
8. I'm a couple years older, so you got time.
There we go.
So you got another question?
Yeah, I think – go ahead, Bryce. Fire away.
No, you go. You go.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, you talked about too, and great job summarizing that journey. And I think, you know, being a part of Penn Yan, and I think, you know, that's a very – storied program run by our parents, you know, both sides, but especially the women's side. And you got to play for both, you know, Harry and Patricia. So rich history, you went to Brockport again, you know, really good program, rich history. Now you are at Plattsburgh and, you know, you're the only coach, you got to start that program. What has it been like kind of laying that foundation yourself and creating your own traditions?
Yeah, so that has just been a dream, truly a dream job and a full circle kind of moment because I did play my college career at SUNY Brockport after graduation. I started my college coaching career at SUNY Geneseo, both teams who are in our conference now. So when I found out that SUNY Plattsburgh was adding lacrosse, this is my fourth year here, so it was four years ago that they decided to add. That was super intriguing to me. So yeah, to get this job has just been a dream and to build this program and it's been awesome. We definitely want to be contending for a conference championship. So we're on our way. Still need to make a name for ourselves in the conference. We got off to a super hot start last year, starting 4-0, but didn't make any conference or didn't have any conference games at that point. So I'm definitely looking forward to some conference games this year.
I'm excited to watch. I didn't get to watch you last year because I was so busy. So now I can root for you this year.
4-0 last year. That's got to be fun to build off of. Let me ask you this. Your conference year is really tough. I touched on it a little bit earlier with the upstate New York depth, but you're from upstate. We've had some Long Island guests on the show and our other podcast, and we always ask them to explain Long Island lacrosse. How do you explain upstate lacrosse? And you also get the honor of coaching upstate and Island kids now because you're a New York State school, so that's got to be fun. It's always fun mixing those two and watching. It's like oil and water. But, you know, how do you explain in your best words upstate lacrosse for the viewers at home?
I think upstate lacrosse is blue collar, gritty. I think we fight, we work. I don't know how else to describe it. I think for me personally, we grew up learning the heritage and the history of the game. And I think that really meant a lot to me personally. I don't know how many people get to learn that, or have people who teach them that, but that has always felt very personal to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you explained it well. How do you get upstate and Long Island kids to play together? Is it quick? Is it long? Is it funny? How does that work?
We've had a pretty natural transition with it. I think there's just talent on all sides. And for us, it's fit really well. At our school, we definitely have more Long Islanders than anybody else. But I think everybody's just really come together and it's been a natural blend.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite chicken wing in Plattsburgh yet? And if not, what's your favorite Finger Lakes chicken wing?
I don't know. It's been a while. Oh yeah, actually I do have favorite chicken wings, Monopole. And anytime I talk to any alumni, like literally any alumni I run into from Plattsburgh, they talk about Monopole. It's like the hole in the wall bar to go to, and they have really good wings. Their wing night's Wednesday. They
Classic
have
night.
Wings called the Stoner Wings that is like honey mustard, I don't know, sweet and sour barbecue. I don't know. It's like a mix of stuff. And normally I don't like that kind of thing. I like straight up like buffalo medium.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
those are really good.
Any other questions? I got a couple more.
Yeah. Obviously too. And I love it. And I think you've been a really good job. I think when you're a coach, you realize how far it goes when like a player that has graduated and reaches out and say what an impact you had on them. And I think you've done a good job at kind of giving back and shouting out, you know, our mom, Patty Q, Coach Queener. And, you know, you tweeted a great picture with her and sharing, you know, the passion she gave you. But I want to know, you know, as a coach now, what did you take most and what did you learn most and integrate it into your coaching from our mom and from Coach Patty Q?
Wow, that's a good question. I grew up with Patty Queener and you, like all of you guys, your family. You all taught me the game of lacrosse, and that's just always stuck with me. That was definitely my foundation. But like I said before, I just think learning the history of it, I don't think that happens everywhere. That is always carried a deep meaning for me, and to play this game is just, it's so fun, you know, and to have it have a deeper meaning, like they call it the medicine game for a reason, and you just feel better anytime you pick up a stick and play it. And I think I just try to convey that to the teams that I'm coaching, just the joy of the game and the love of the game, and we try to keep it fun no matter what we're doing.
Great answer.
I still wanted to know,
one attacker tip, shooting, feeding. We're not going to go with 8 meters because you don't love them. So
we'll I don't hate 8 meters.
I said you don't love them. I said you don't
I wouldn't them. Hate it if they went away.
It's great to have a take. Everyone has a take.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's good.
Love it.
I like shooting 8 meters. I like shooting 8 meters. Yeah. I love when I get put on the line.
I like them a lot more since they took the defenders away from the GLE. When they used to give you an 8 meter and then you still had to slide in, you still had to score, but then get hit by the low player still. I was like,
this it just perpetuated good. More shooting space calls. So that it was so smart to change that because there'd be like five in a row.
Yeah, and the passing off it right now has been pretty exciting.
It's so it's 8 meter magic. 8 meter magic, man. Oof.
I saw you post that. I liked it. It's just fascinating to see what other teams are doing. I think when they first made that rule, everybody was worried people were going to run around like it was going to be Canadian football, like there's going to be motion players everywhere. There hasn't been. What one attacker tip? You get a good young attacker that you're really excited to coach. What's one thing you're trying to talk to them about early in their career?
Oh, well, we've been working on a lot of small-sided stuff in practice, so that's a lot of what we've been talking about. I think one tip, creating space is important, setting up your dodge, setting up your cut, but also playing fast, moving the ball, not hanging on to it for too long. That's a lot of tips. That's not just one, but I think they're all just so important.
All important tips. I think, you know, you've coached offense a lot. It's challenging, Sylvia. You've coached it a lot. It's all those things. What small-sided games are you currently playing? You got any new ones? Are you sticking with the old ones? What do you got rocking up there in upstate?
Just pretty classic things. We've been doing some three-man games and just a lot of 1v1s and stuff. We've done some speed lacks. We're trying to keep it fun just in these – unprecedented times. I know that term is overused, but it's true.
Well, it's real. It's real. I forget, Sylvia, you might remember who did the blog post, the IWLCA Behind the Whistle, about assistant coaches, basically just coaches this year. It's going to be a challenge. Like this is, it's obviously challenging for students and just everybody in the whole country. So do you think this is going to be a challenging year to coach in? It hasn't been challenging. How you guys, is it cold up there? How you guys dealing with all the adversity?
Oh, it's cold? For sure challenging. I just did an interview the other day with the local news station and talked about just rolling with the punches. I mean, everything is, it's not a normal year. Anything can happen. And we just have to take what we're given and go with it and just find a way to proceed no matter what is thrown at us. And it's not it, the cold just broke. We're out of the single digits, I think, finally. It's been beautiful the last couple of days. We're sweating at practice and it's like 30 degrees. We're out there in shorts and a hoodie.
That's awesome. So you got any more questions?
Those were it for me. And I really appreciate you being open and sharing. And I do want to circle back because, you know, I actually really like your first tip with attackers and offense. And I think creating space is so important. And because it's like, where are our lines? It's the 12 meter and tight, and that's not a lot of space. And, you know, for example, UNC is going to stay number one and they're not going to lose until an offensive team learns how to create space against them because they pack the 12, they pack the 8 so well. And I think that's a huge challenge for teams is they're not creating that space for themselves. They're not stepping back. And for example, like Kerrigan Miller, she had all the space in the world when she drove against BC and had her one-on-one. And I think Syracuse might be the team to do it, to create that space to really, you know, maybe have a tight game with UNC. But I think, you know, that's something that is so small, but so important. And I feel like sometimes we do other things before just creating that space and understanding our own power and then the power of, you know, spreading out.
For sure.
So I'm thrilled, but I think, you know, thank you for coaching. Thank you for, you know, continuing to spread the love of the game, for being passionate, for, you know, wanting this game to be more inclusive, you know, more accessible. lacrosse is for everyone. It's given so much to us. And, you know, now it's our time to give back. And, you know, so thank you for being with us right now. And thanks everyone for listening, and be back with us. We're here every week and we're going to have more guests, but this was definitely a favorite. Love to have three Penny on people together. XOXO. Thanks for tuning in and supporting Women's Slax World. We appreciate you, and make sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode.